time for the MMA Insiders.
Back here with Brett Okamoto, Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. We are going to join the quarters of the Mountain West Conference tournament in progress. Right now, Colorado State is up the two seed on the 10, 23-16 with 9.5. And those teams that are dreamers, Adam, that make it out of that play-in game, sometimes they don't really have a whole lot for the next game.
I think you go either way, though.
Sometimes
you settle into a rhythm, you know the court a little better, and you're more comfortable than the team making its debut. Sometimes you're Rutgers.
Yeah, they're losing 35-9. Brett asked during the break about San Diego State actually laying points against Boise. So we'll see what happens in that one. And the audience listening to this on an archive does not care about Mountain West Conference basketball or Rutgers. So let's get back to the topic at hand, the MMA Insiders. I have to limit this at like 4 minutes because it was like 14 the other day on the regular show. But you did get an expert. I don't know if he was whacked at the time because this feels like a good weed discussion. Adam is clean and he can still have the discussion. Arian Foster challenged a wolf, not face-to-face, but said he could beat a wolf. Wolf expert chimed in and said, you can't. You broke down the whole situation. Then you turned to a fight expert, Joe Rogan. What did he say?
He basically made the case that humans have no shot against the wolf. And especially saying that humans are basically just I think the term was water balloon full of water and blood. And the wolf is going to have a good time chewing it apart and making that explode.
Yeah. I was on board with that description, basically. Soft membrane called skin that surrounds the fluids that's within our body that basically just prevents it from leaking on the floor but doesn't offer much protection in the way of a wolf bite.
Damn, that's kind of depressing.
But Arian Foster made good points about Google and thumbs.
Good points.
I was mocking him. but yes, I think he fails because he did mock somebody that said a wolf knows to go for your arteries and to go after your neck. And he said, what am I going against a wolf that majored in biology? It's funny, but it's actually not. I mean, they know by instinct. There is a thing called instinct, and they do have to kill animals in the wild, so they kind of understand the best way to go about doing that. So I think he's wrong on that level.
Sharp guy, though. I ended up watching the entire thing with Rogan. And he says that a couple things that stood out was he was standing on the sidelines of the football field. And I know that he retired a lot because of injuries, right? But he's like, I was standing on the side of the football field, and I was like, I just don't care at all who wins this game. This is kind of like lost it.
He was always like that. Even at Tennessee, he was a little bit of an underachiever.
Yeah.
And didn't even get drafted, and then he went on to lead the league in rushing in 2010. But he's always been a thinking man, and that's why I'm sure people who are super into religion can't stand him because he came out as like one of the first pro athletes is like, this is stupid. I'm an atheist.
Wow.
And people really went ballistic on
that. Well, he said he wants to go back to school for physics. He says physics is what really interests him, and he wants to get into that
biology.
Field.
He doesn't want to study.
Well, that's what was interesting to me is that like this guy wants to get into physics, and he did strike me as a pretty intelligent guy, but he thinks he can take out a wolf.
Well, the wolf didn't go to 4 Pro Bowls. I don't know if you saw that point.
Are we talking about an average wolf, an underachieving wolf, maybe?
And I was all in on the wolf winning pretty easily, but I did read a story about there's a guy like in the Ukraine that killed a wolf. I think he choked it out recently. So I was like, okay, maybe there's a shot. But apparently, what it was is that the wolf had already eaten like the guy's dog and child. He was like he had the anger.
You need
him.
That rage.
I think you need
to match
some rage.
The wolf instincts.
Yeah, wow. I don't think you can just go in like calm and try to fight it. I think you need some emotion.
Number two on our MMA 6. Maybe you need the rage that always seems to be flowing through the veins of Michael Bisping, or is it other stuff always flowing through the veins of Michael Bisping?
Lots of stuff.
What is he doing? So you skipped out on the award show last week. You were nominated for Top Journalist of 2016 and Most Handsome Male Member of the MMA Journalist Group. He didn't. Well, no, that was actually decided well beforehand. But anyway,
runner up.
Afterwards, you see Michael Bisping on some hidden video yelling at Eddie Bravo, tell people who Eddie Bravo is.
Jiu-Jitsu master, I guess.
Right.
Self-proclaimed. A lot of people, really.
And he's buddies with Rogan.
And he's done a lot of work with the broadcast and stuff, too. Yeah.
You see Bisping. It looks like he has a drink in his hand. He's screaming and yelling at Bravo. Bravo's just standing there. Bravo's smaller, but he just is looking at him like, I guess if we're going to go, we'll go. Do you have any clue what Bisping was mad about? And I guess my bigger point here is, dude, you've just been booked over a bunch of people for probably the biggest fight of this year unless Connor comes back. You're an idiot. Why are you jeopardizing any of this by screaming at Eddie Bravo over, I'm guessing, something really stupid? And I know why, because Bisping is a guy who goes, you know, high and low, but what's the deal?
I don't know what the problem is. I know why it became a big issue is he's more angry about people posting videos of him. That's how it became like a big deal, because the argument or whatever they had a problem about really didn't seem to be much. I think it seemed like it was ironed out. It's he doesn't want people in his group, and I guess he considers the person that posted the video a friend or a coworker. And so he was mad that, hey, I let you in the circle and you violated it and now you're out. And that's how it became kind of more of a big issue.
Mm-hmm. You do that at a party in public?
I mean, it's in public and you're a public figure. I guess I understand why he has a problem with if he does have this person in his circle. Like,
no, I understand all that. I understand all that. But you have to hold yourself to higher standards. You're 38 years old. You're on the verge of probably making millions against George St. Pierre. Don't do anything to potentially take yourself out of the fight.
Yeah.
I understand all of the loyalty thing. And believe me, I'm not Mr. Self-Control either. But I have nothing to lose. He does.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't throw a punch or anything. I think
he's yelling at a guy in public.
He just got a big fight. He knows he's going to make $1 million. He's in Vegas. That fight's not for a few months. He's throwing him back, man. I chalk this up to good old-fashioned drunkenness.
And that's kind of his image, too. So all he's doing is selling.
He's selling a brand?
Yeah, I think he's selling a brand.
By drunkenly screaming?
Right. Why not?
I mean, drunkenly screaming.
That's what he did at the press conference, and they kind of sold it that way. And George called it out, and Bisping didn't deny it. And I think they kind of made that a thing. And even Bisping said, yeah, I've been drunk my whole career, and I'm the champion. Like, what are you saying?
He's kind of embracing this... to a degree. I mean, he'll like go out on his own podcast and say, like, hey, I'm going to fight the contenders, but this is why I'm taking the big fights. But I think he's also kind of trolling people, you know, like, hey, look at me. I'm getting the big fights, and everyone's mad about it, and I can do whatever I want. I'm the champion now, and you don't like it.
It's working.
Why not?
Yeah, it's working. I mean, he's always embraced being the heel, and now he's actually made this turn where he's, you know, some people really like him, but he still has the crowd that can't stand him as a heel. So top story, are we going to get this fight? July 8th weekend, Bisping GSP. Can they put it together quickly enough? Can GSP be ready through the USADA testing and training to fight? And is Bisping healthy?
I assume it's yes. I mean, I think there's things that have to come together, obviously. There's also a lot to be worked out. I think as far as deciding what they want to do in July, they have a second pay-per-view in July, and now they really have three major title fights to go that month. So do you stack a weekend and go crazy? Do you spread it out and put one in Anaheim? I think those are the things that they more have to work out. I know they have the drug testing issue, and they've got these other things to kind of iron out, but in the end, they're going to figure out how to get George on whatever card they want to put him on, and it's going to be in Las Vegas, whether it's then or they book another one later in the year. I think that they're going to all work it out and have it there.
Yeah, if I had to guess right now, I would say Bisping GSP headlines the International Fight Week card, which is July 8th. I think the co-main event will probably be Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw.
You don't think they put that Friday?
No. I think that'll be on pay-per-view. And then I think if I was them, don't you just kind of punt Anaheim? Because then you're asking people to buy two.
Well, you've got the Jones fight.
I mean, you have to see. We have to see that. I mean, DC is an injury risk.
Not the Jones fight.
Well, DC's an injury
risk.
Jones
is fighting somebody.
Yeah.
He's eligible that weekend. There's no reason to not
to
have a
it?
Fight that month.
I guess I'm just waiting to see what happens in April because, you know, things can happen. So, but you're right. They have that fight. I don't think you put all three on one, though. I don't see them doing that.
I don't either, but I think you don't have to do anything. I was going to say, I think you put the Garbrandt-Dillashaw fight is supposed to be that weekend. Now, were you at the tough media day they did? And
yeah.
Garbrandt started to say when the fight was, and he's like, well... Actually,
Garbrandt basically said it was on that pay per view, and I was like, "Is that official?" And he's like, "No, that's how I envision it." And then
I thought he was more saying like, "Yeah, it might be on the non pay per view."
No, I had Dillashaw on my podcast that same week,
okay.
And he told me that he had been told it would already be on pay per view.
Okay, yeah, I was trying to read into the Garbrandt pause on that, as maybe they were telling them it wouldn't be on the pay-per-view card. Because like we said, they've got these other cards. And I think my thought is the plan is to put Jones on the Anaheim card, headline that, have GSP and Bisping here fight week, and then you can put the Garbrandt-Dillashaw fight with that. But again, Dana White has said John Jones will not headline a card. So would they make him the co-main on the GSP-Bisping card? No. I don't think so. But,
no.
But that also makes it one of those like crazy, insane pay-per-views they could do a ton of buys on.
I think the company is, you can tell WMEIMG loves Cody Garbrandt, and they think he's a star power. So by putting him on the same card as a GSP Bisping and like really giving him the media play during that week, that seems like a no-brainer to me.
I think that's 100% the plan. I think 100% that is their plan, to have that fight, you know, in support of the GSP fight, and then everybody tunes in for GSP. They make Garbrandt an even bigger star, especially if he wins, and then put Jones in.
And then you can move Jones in. And Jones would have been he would have been great to headline that that card, because it would have been like 1 year later.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been a great redemption story. But now that you have GSP Bisping, that takes precedent, and then you put Jones on Anaheim, I guess. And then you're asking people to pay twice, though. That's tough.
Yeah.
Sometimes
just a couple, like 3 weeks apart.
Yeah.
Do you think WME overrules Dana and that notion that Jones can't be a main eventer?
Yeah.
No, I don't
think Dana
does not even overrules. Dana yeah. just says things.
Yeah, that's just Dana saying something that I don't think is really real.
Go ahead and do it. What have I said all along, Adam?
About
the dude
what?
Is not to be trusted, and I said it before.
You have no choice, year. Though. Yeah, what, you're gonna put
you do!
You're going to put John Jones' comeback fight as a co-main event?
No, any
you
fight
have
card.
No choice.
He doesn't have to fight in July. I think you do make people pay twice, and you have to put another good fight on the Anaheim card, but you can never put him as the fight on a card, because he is every card a risk to blank you over.
Yeah. Well, and at this point, so is DC with the injuries, though.
You know. Plus, who's going to manage him? His manager Malky Kawa just signed Greg Hardy, so I mean, there's a whole new set of challenges.
Do you really jinx Anaheim and go Jones versus Cormier Johnson and Nurmagomedov and Ferguson?
Oh boy.
As like the co-main. And just throw caution to the wind.
It's not. Habib wouldn't even be able to do that because of Ramadan. It would mess with his camp too much.
It's the end of July.
I think it's funny that you're putting that together, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But no, he wouldn't be able to put it together a camp.
It ends like the end of June. Yeah, you're right. It'd be like only a month. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
Never mind. My matchmaking is off.
I like the thought. All the right. Execution. It wasn't there.
Was it really thought, or he's just looking for the worst outcome possible for USC and Dana White? All right. On the way back, we got to do a quick where are they now? I think we're all wondering how Mayhem Miller is doing, so we've got an update on him. And we'll also get to the fight card, which I freaking love because I'm not, like, slightly in any way a fan of Vitor Belfort. But I love Kelvin Gastelum, even though he's a fatty who can't make weight. But I love that he's been penalized by going up a weight, and now he's a minus 420 favorite against a legendary fighter.
MMA Insider Show.